Well, thank you so much. You found us on a Thursday evening, and we say to you, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. It's the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So while you're wondering why a frog keeps getting into the server room, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And we can't do that until we bring in our anti-aging monkey. Yes, some say he has outclimbed a mountain goat. And others say his body uses 33% less oxygen than normal. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, Chris, before we get going, I'm getting about a 30-second delay of the show a second time. Are you?
Yes, I'm hearing it as well. One of you ladies happen to have the live web page open? The YouTube page?
I do not.
I do.
Ah.
There we go. I think it's all better.
Yay.
All right. Now we're in good shape. All right. So thank you very much. And thank you for a gracious introduction once again. Sorry about the little bit of technical difficulty, but you know what? It always just makes it a little more interesting, a little more fun, and you know, special effects there for everybody
listening. You got to love it.
All right. Well, tonight, you got to love it. Yeah. Tonight we have, if the astute amongst you may have noticed, we have special guests. We have Audrey and Aaron from Geocaching HQ. Ladies, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you. It's good to be
thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah.
Oh, trust me, you by the end of the show, you won't be thanking us anymore. That's great. Appreciate that enthusiasm off the start. Don't worry, we'll burn you up. Okay. You know what, folks? Tonight's podcast is brought to you by the letter P. P is for patrons, my kind of listeners. We want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That would be Limax, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. And in fact, we want to thank all of our patron supporters, and that would be B Pendragon, I Ham and Monkey Cakes, Billy Robson, OBX Geek, Geo Nav Pros, Wino, Seattle Kid, Vegas 19, Dune Buddy, Acre Doc, Subway Mark, Doramore, and Geo Gearheads. All right. That's everybody.
That was done breath. I'm impressed.
Well, one and a half.
Okay.
All right. You know, we do appreciate everybody who sponsors this podcast each week. It makes a big difference to us and our ability to put on the podcast. And if you want to know more about supporting the show, make sure you reach on over to the cachingnw.com website and click on that Patreon link. Now, for tonight's podcast, we are talking, as we've already let you know, with a couple of very special guests from GCHQ. And we're going to hear about the Mary Hyde adventures, and we're going to get some insight into GJF 2017. However, before we get started, we want to remind all of our great listeners that geocaching.com has continued to spend many hours updating your profile page while you're sleeping, and Caching in the Northwest wants to help you get back at them by giving you your very own glow badge to put on your profile.
That's right. So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it, because great logs simply makes geocaching better. All you have to do is send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know, you can always call into 253-693-TFTC or use that handy-dandy voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow.
Rock and roll. All right. Well, you know what? Tonight's glow looks like this is from Team Finn. Is that correct, Chris?
Correct.
Is that what I'm reading here? All right. So this one comes with a little bit of a preamble. It says, I wrote this one on a cache that was on our way to the Going Ape pre-meet and greet. So just for those of you in the chat room who are used to Wits End doing this, I will let you know that I am also cold reading this. So this could be fun. All right. So Team Finn found Once Upon a Time. That is GC7443Z. Now, it starts off with, warning, do not try this at home or any other cache. Winky face. All right. We were on our way to the early meet and greet, as many others were, and cars in front of us were not moving. I was bored, so I checked the map for caches nearby. I have a mystery solved nearby. I told Natalie 247 and Sherpa Bob my plan, and they let me free. I hopped from the car in the middle of non-moving traffic as many cars watched me cross the street, wondering exactly what I was doing. I got to Ground Zero and found the cache relatively quickly, even though I had to slap myself for realizing how obvious yet hidden the hide is. I ran back to the road and saw that our car had not moved at all. After receiving the okay signal, which was actually a nod from our driver, Sherpa Bob, I ran across the street and hopped in the car. I was expecting applause from the other cars, but I got a lot of smiles and thumbs up. All right. So, and then it ends with, thanks, Broncos, for adding another fun story to our caching history. So I'm assuming the cache was placed by Broncos Fan for Life.
Exactly.
There you go. So, well, there you go.
Have
Don't
you ever
do
done
that.
Anything like
that?
What have
they
you
did?
Jumped out
Don't
of
do
a
that.
Non-moving car. We have all jumped out of a non-moving car, but, you know, stuck in traffic, go run, get a cache, come back. I've often thought about that. I got stuck for quite a while on I-90 right next to Keechelis Lake there. And I thought, can I get that cache on that island and come back to the
car?
Were
you driving?
I was. My wife was with me. She was willing to. I said, what happens when she starts moving? It's miles before she can turn around again. And get stuck. No, we'll have to do it.
She picks you up on the way home. That's what happens.
Yeah. I start walking. Hey, if there's a milestone cache that you are celebrating, why not call it in? You can call into 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community. Of course, there's always that voicemail tool on the website. Now, you may know at Caching in the Northwest, we like to give things away.
We do.
You know, we give away a podcast each and every week. Everyone who
Absolutely.
Listens is a winner. But we've got other prizes to give away. In fact, at the end of October, now that's not that far away, we're going to raffle off some awesome prizes. And you're going to want to get in on this contest. You know, summer's coming to a close and it's back to work or even back to school for many of you. And we know most of you wish you were caching instead.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you what, share your thoughts and win. It's easy. All you have to do for one entry each time is to post original content to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram using hashtag wish I was caching and at wish I was caching. Tell us how, why, or what you'd be doing right then and there using hashtag wish I was caching. Upload a photo, have fun, be creative, and you will get one entry per original post.
Wait. One entry is not enough. For you? Yeah, you right there. You're going to want two. To increase your odds of getting that awesome prize, send in some audio. So if we play it on Caching in the Northwest, you're going to get two entries. That can
wow.
be calling into 253-693-TFTC or using the audio widget right there on the CachingNW.com website. For full contest rules, keep your eyes on landmonkey.blogspot.com and cachingnw.com.
There's always rules.
There's always rules. Yeah, that's, you know, you can play much better when you know the rules.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with
hashtag
that. And you know what?
Wish I was caching.
Yeah, the rules aren't going to be that complicated. Hashtag wish I was caching. Instead of reading rules.
I don't know how to make an at sign with my fingers. I can do the hashtag, but I don't know how to do at.
I don't know. It's gonna look dirty if I try and do that with my fingers. I'm gonna stop now.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you know what? We got an email from Bounce Bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I read it?
Oh, please, because Bounce Bounce is quickly becoming one of the premier hiders right here in the Northwest.
I think Bounce Bounce was mentioned in last week's podcast.
See what I'm saying?
There you go. One of the hiders for the Auburn geocaching mm-hmm. or geocoin event.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So the email from Bounce Bounce goes a little bit like this. Hi, CNW. That's us. All right. Not one, not two, but three of my caches reached 100 favorite points today. I share this milestone not to celebrate my caches, but to show my appreciation to all of the cachers out there finding them. As a CO, a lot of my enjoyment comes from the unique logs I get and hearing about the enjoyment that I have brought to others. The enthusiasm and feedback I get back from everyone else really motivates me to continue creating. Keep caching. That's awesome. And so he sent us the list. Mm-hmm. 520 Bellevue TB Hotel, GC6ZR1H is at 102. I-90 TB Hotel, GC6G34Z is at 100 favorite points. And I'm going to guess Obbom.
That sounds good.
Obbom TB Hotel. So I'm picking up a theme from the caches here. GC5FZDA is also 100 favorite points. So that's awesome. That is absolutely amazing. Congrats, Bounce Bounce. Thank you for sharing that with us and allowing us to share it with others. That's fantastic. Congratulations on 3 caches over 100 favorite points. That's impressive.
That is very impressive. That, I mean, you know, I don't have 100 favorite points on any of my caches. Just saying.
Yeah. No, that's hard to do. Good mm-hmm. stuff. All right. So congrats, Bounce Bounce. Thanks for sharing that with us. And hey, you know what? There's some other great geocaching news. I heard this morning via our favorite reviewer and loyal listener to the program, Skookum Bear, that the patient and polite Canadians have been rewarded by International Earth Cache Day being extended to International Earth Cache Weekend. That's right. You can now find, answer, log your Earth Cache on Saturday, October 7th or Sunday, October 8th to receive the International Earth Cache Day souvenir. So, on behalf of Canada, we say thank you, geocaching.com, for not forcing us to log an Earth Cache on Thanksgiving dinner. We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I was actually paying attention. What did you just say?
Okay.
You get 2 days.
I'm used to you not paying attention.
For International Earth Cache Day, International Earth Cache Weekend. So all it took was to get you on a weekly podcast and let you rant for about 200 weeks and things get changed. That seems fair.
Yeah. Talk to my wife.
Yeah. I don't know how she lives with you. She's a saint.
She is. Yes. Well, she puts me on a podcast for 200 weeks, gets it out of my system.
Okay.
I'm good the rest.
Oh, that's who I was emailing with in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah. Surprise.
Well, Aaron and Audrey, thank you so much for being patient as we got through all that little business.
No problem. Thanks for having us again.
All right. Well, you know what? Before we get into tonight's topics, I have some questions for both of you ladies. Now, astute geocachers may have noticed that geocaching lackeys each have a personalized, very cool, it's like an 8-bit stylized avatar that you guys get. And I've always been just a little bit jealous because I think they're really cool. But I've noticed everybody's is unique and it obviously has some sort of reflection on you guys as a person. Could you share with us the significance of your personal avatars?
Yeah, sure. So my avatar is me, playing in the leaves because my favorite season is fall. So you can't see it anywhere, but, I'm like throwing leaves up into the air, but what you probably can't see, it's really tiny, as I'm holding a really small glass of wine above my head because I enjoy the occasional glass every now and then.
Very nice.
Yeah, and my avatar, I don't know if am I popping up on the screen for y'all?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm kind of new at this. Thanks for your patience. But my avatar is a sloth. It's a little sloth hanging, and he is holding a bouquet of flowers. Specifically, they're dahlia flowers. I grow dahlias as a hobby. In addition to, I'd rather be geocaching.
Nicely done. There you go.
That's worth 2 because it's audio. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So I guess that's how that came together.
Oh,
for me.
Erin's listening to the rules. I like her.
Yeah.
No kidding. And is the first entrant into the contest.
Yeah, there you go. Did you know that there is a sloth sanctuary just outside of Portland?
You I did. Yeah, I haven't been yet, but I hope to go.
I took my daughter on her, I should know this, 15th or 16th birthday down there.
Yeah.
And you can hold and pet a sloth as well as learn all about them. She was there, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 hours. It was, she loved it. She loves sloths.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it indoors or outdoors?
Yes. Mostly indoors, okay. But they bring, it's not just sloths they have there. They have a whole bunch of different animals. They only allowed one guest. So I hashtag wished I was geocaching and went out and went geocaching, and my wife stayed with her. So, you know, I saw some of the animals outside, and, you know, there was a large glass atrium with, I don't know, 2-3 trees in it with sloths hanging, as sloths are wont to do. So it was, yeah, I got to see one up close. I petted it. It, you know, it doesn't have the soft fur you would think, but nonetheless, sloth sanctuary right here in the Northwest.
Very cool.
You have to go find it. It's easy. Just Google sloth sanctuary, Oregon, and you'll find it. Okay. Now, down to business. Let's talk about this summer. I mean, it's not officially over yet, but it kind of, the weather has started to change. It kind of feels like it's over. Geocachers must have been stranded on a desert island if they haven't heard about the Mary Hyde activities that ran through this past summer. And we have many questions for you about this, but first off, because we're curious, where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so the idea for Mary Hyde came from the fact that this year we wanted to bring geocaching back to the basics. So geocaching at its core is the world's largest treasure hunt. And to us, nothing fit that theme better than pirates. So simple as that.
There you go. And people had a lot of fun with the whole pirate theme.
I think our community really has the affinity for pirates, and it really showed through all the photos they shared and all the content, and people really got into it, which we loved.
Yes, we did. Absolutely. That was fantastic. Now, once the idea gets formulated, because you guys have done, you know, a few different things over the last few years, different events, I guess we'd call it, or themes for the summers. Once the idea gets formulated, what happens at HQ to turn it into reality?
Yeah, so we typically come up with the idea for Mary Hyde. Actually, we came up with it much earlier than some of our other promotions. We came up with it in around January. And then what we would do is we take this idea and we take it to our creative team. And so these people help us to design the artwork, to think up the storyline and the narrative that goes in around it. And then after that, we usually bring it to our developers and our product owners, as well as our shop geocaching team, to really see how we can up-level this promotion. And so for Mary Hyde, because we didn't know what type of tools or features and functionality we would have, because the idea came so early on in the year, we brought it to these developers, and we saw that one of our developers, Heather Walke, was working on the Friend League. And right away, we knew that was really exciting to us, and we knew we wanted to bring it to the community and let them have a taste of it. So we planned our summer promotion around that.
That was a fun part of the promotion.
Yeah, I think it had a lot of good engagement, and we hope people really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really got people talking on social media of, you know, how big is your Friend League? How big is your, you know? So, mm-hmm. You know, the Friends feature, which honestly kind of languished there for a couple of years, now suddenly had a purpose. And, you know,
totally.
We were getting lots of friend requests. And I think it was a fun addition.
Definitely.
What was the purpose or maybe the intent behind the Mary Hyde activities and promotions? Do you have any sense of measure how far that reached?
Totally. So the sole purpose of all of our geocaching promotions is to ultimately just get people outside and geocaching and kind of like bring some fun, engaging piece into it. So for this promotion, it was all about getting out there and logging caches, as well as to see how people engaged with this new functionality like the Friend League. So that's kind of how we measured it.
Very cool. Well, and obviously the Friend League was a big part of the events this summer. And then there was the coins and the, you know, ways to earn points. Will we see the Friend League idea continue on past the summer?
Yeah, you definitely will. So right now you could still use the Friend League if you wanted to with you and your geocaching friends. And then beyond that, we hope to kind of change the points for different promotions we have. So for instance, Saito, a sneak peek that will have an element in the Friend League. And then going forward, any new promotion and campaign that kind of comes up, we'll have that sprinkled in there in new and exciting ways. So stay tuned.
Ah, a little teaser there. Nice. Stay tuned. All right. We will. We will stay tuned. Awesome. So you guys, you know, obviously you had fun watching everybody around the world get involved in the Merry Hyde events and such. But what did you guys at HQ get up to this summer?
Yeah, so at HQ, everyone was really excited about the promotion. So we actually joined separate teams, and we tried to make the teams with people you don't normally work with on your day-to-day. And we had the plan to whoever got the most points on the Friend League in the duration of the whole promotion got bragging rights. And people take this very seriously at HQ. So Aaron and I were actually on the same team. And I'm sad to say our team didn't win, but we did have a lot of fun kind of going during work hours and geocaching. And Brian was on our team. So I think we got to do that a little bit more. And so that was pretty fun. So yeah, everyone had a great time and really took advantage of the summer and getting out there and finding some caches.
Nice. It's easy to go geocaching during the workday when the boss goes with you, isn't it?
Yeah. You're like, yes, sign me up. Yes, please.
Oh, I got to get my boss into geocaching then.
You really do. It makes a difference.
Now, if any of the geocachers who happen to be listening or, you know, geocachers anywhere had an idea for the upcoming years in the future, how would they share that idea with headquarters?
Yeah, we would love to hear those ideas. A lot of people share, and this is kind of how we gather some feedback, is through our social media channels, whether that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. If you email us at our help center or even our forums, we always are kind of scanning those. And even just sometimes when people don't have a big idea, but they're like, oh, put some emphasis on so-and-so or this, it's really helpful to gather that feedback from the community to when we are framing up new ideas.
Nice. Well, we've got a question here in our chat. This one comes from Dora Moore. This is, what became of the Where in the World is Signal promotion? Seems like he only visited two countries.
He did. And we are unsure. So we will see if he will continue to keep traveling. We've got some fun countries lined up that a lot of people all over the world are submitting these cool activities that their geocaching communities like to do in order for that. And if there seems to be an appetite for it, then we'll definitely keep continuing it on.
Nice. I just assumed he had used up his frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, he's just getting some more miles.
Okay.
His passport. You go in the server room one more time. We're taking your passport.
It's on the no-fly list.
Oh, that would be bad.
Well, as a frog, that's half your diet, right? So.
That's a good one.
Oh, Land Monkey, you got a couple of courtesy laughs on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured I had to beat you to that one. So. All right.
Oh, yeah, so he's on a diet, is what you're saying. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, talking about things coming up, we're excited for another year of, we like to say gajif, because is it a hard G or a soft G? So we throw in both G's. We're not sure if it's GIF or GIF.
GIF, it's GIF.
But it's geocaching. It's not. Anyway.
GIF.
It's gajif.
Gajif.
I know many cachers have been really busy working on their entries for gajif 2017. But in case folks don't know about this, could you tell our listeners a little bit about what the GIGIF 2017 is all about?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So GIF stands for Geocaching International Film Festival. This year's theme for the short films is the art of geocaching. So basically, it consists of videos made by geocachers about geocaching for other geocachers to watch. So
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah. So all year this year, up until the deadline of August 1st, filmmakers could submit their short videos, so between 1 minute and 4 minutes, a video about geocaching to us at HQ. And then on August 1st, we organized several teams of judges at HQ and have a big judging night. We all watch the films and judge them on, there's four main criteria: content, contribution to the game, quality of filming, etc. And we narrow the films down to, in the past, it's been 16 films that were put into a film reel. Really what we want is an hour of content. So sneak peek, this year there are 17 finalists, one more than in the past. And those 17 finalist films will be put into one film reel that will be shown at geocaching events that people can host on GIF weekend, which is November 2nd through November 6th this year. So if event hosts sign up, they go through that process and then they get the film reel and show it to the community. Yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. So thank you very much, Aaron, for explaining that. How many entries did you get this year for the GIGIF?
Yeah, so GIF this year received 49 entries from 15 countries. And it was just incredible quality that we got this year of video submissions. It was really, really hard to narrow it down. Yeah.
Very cool. So you've given us a little bit of a taste by sharing that, you know, a bit about how the judging works and the breakdown. But what else happens behind the scenes at HQ to make sure that this whole event is successful?
Yeah, it's a pretty big promotion. And so there's a lot of different teams that are involved. Again, Audrey mentioned the creative team starts from the beginning. So some of the GIF is really a whimsical, fun promotion. So this year we have more of the gnomes and some neat, just kind of whimsical art assets. So that's exciting. And then it's just fun to see also how the community uses those assets. We share those with event hosts and they can make their own cakes and they make these elaborate logbooks and with the assets we create. So that's really fun to share out. Both our community team and the marketing team are super helpful to help do a lot of the promotion around the event, get the blog and the newsletter and all the Twitter, Facebook promotion out. Our merchandise and shop teams have been helpful again with that merchandise and getting that the product to some of our international retailers, because it's a very popular promotion globally, not just in the US. And then, yeah, so many teams. But our engineers also helped this year, because now we have a live, like, mappable GIF link. So you can map that bookmark list a lot easier than we've been able to in the years past. And so our devs really pulled through to make that happen for us this year. So lots of folks touch GIF in different ways, in addition to the judging and the everyday of it. Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot going on behind the scenes. That's very cool. Over in the chat room, I noticed that there's a lot of questions about whether Geocache Guy submitted an entry this year, and I'll just let everybody know that he did not this year. After the first year when he submitted and he was told that his videos maybe aren't quite appropriate for GIGIF. But there probably will be more coming soon. On that note, Aaron, the question for you is, can you give us any hints or previews about the 17 films coming this year? And do you have any favorites already?
Yeah. So I never want to give too much away. So, but I was surprised this year at how many time travelers have submit videos. And so that's always interesting. And some people getting creative with some GIF, geocaching, etc. vocabulary. So it's interesting to see these themes pop up, and of course art. And I don't know about favorites. I think there are different qualities about the films that are really exciting. Again, there's so much humor this year and a lot of, I think, inside geocaching jokes that land well. So a lot of potential for laughter. Also some, you know, good warm feelings about geocaching. So that's nice.
So those people, the time travelers, wouldn't they already know that their videos have been selected and submitted?
Yeah, that's what they wrote me.
Yeah. Anyway, Limax says 17 videos. That's one for each year of geocaching.
Ooh.
You planned that,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, we could say that's why we planned that. Yeah.
Will there be a film festival in 2018? Are there plans?
You know, we're in early conversations about it, so there's not a decision yet. It is a really big promotion, and so we're just kind of looking at all the pieces. We know it's really beloved by the community, so hopefully we'll just see how this year goes. We're already at 200 events have been vetted by us and are live on the website, so that's great early numbers for those events. Last year, we were around 550, and I really hope to inch a little bit above that this year, if possible. So I guess, yeah, not sure yet.
That's understandable. Now, Land Monkey, you had quite an event last year. It was a black tie affair, was it? Was it not?
For the last 2 years up here in Vancouver, yes, it has been a black tie affair. And once again, this year it will be again. And we're actually partnering with the city of Richmond, British Columbia, on putting the event on this year. So, you know, local podcast listeners up in this neck of the woods, stay tuned. The event is coming. We just have another big event that we're also partnering with the city of Richmond on Friday, the 13th of October, that we're just going to get that event done first. And then we'll be focusing more on the GIF event.
Nice. Now our local one is held at a university here. And if I remember last year, they had to move it to three different rooms as more people kept posting a will attend. They had to keep going to larger rooms to accommodate the crowd. So
nice problem to have.
Exactly. And it's very well attended here, and obviously yours is too. So, you know, we're excited for it. I like how it worked out. It was unfortunate that it was rained out that one year, the first year that it pushed out. But I think making it more of a local event has really helped it to take off.
Yeah, I would agree. We also have an event that I'll be hosting this year in Seattle. So that'll be fun. And I was just going to mention that I've already noticed a few of the events I've vetted are already full. So mostly in Europe, Germany, and around there are already, sold out. Sold out, mm-hmm. but already have over 100 will attends and are full. So it's pretty awesome to see the engagement around it.
Are there any of the film festival events that reach mega status?
What was that? One more time.
Any of these events reaching mega status?
Oh,
500
not that I've seen yet.
I was thinking, boy, that would be an awfully large theater, but you could do it.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. That would be I guess you'd need an outdoor venue to be able to pull that off, but
yeah.
I don't know. Either way, it's going to be pretty tricky.
Some of the, you know, the big halls in Seattle could pull it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just Royal Hall projected on the side of the bridge or something. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Get a really big sheet. Yeah. Have everybody bring a sheet. And we'll tie them all together and we can hang it from the bridge.
What could go wrong? Always good ideas and suggestions from this podcast.
Exactly.
Sure. All right. So, Aaron, just to maybe wrap up this theme about the GIF weekend, if cachers want to make sure they have a chance to see movies on the GIF weekend, what's the best way to make sure that they get out there?
Yeah, so right now there is a bookmark list on the Geocaching HQ account. If you were to just look up Geocaching HQ as a friend, then you could check out that bookmark list, and it has all of the events that have been vetted for GIF to receive the film reel. The reason that's important, events kind of have to go through two steps. They have to be published on geocaching.com, and then they also submit a form into Geocaching HQ, and I review them. And that's just, we want to make sure that the focus of the event is actually GIF, because people who attend and log a GIF event that weekend will get a souvenir. There's a souvenir for the event. So yeah, you can check out that list. There's also a website for GIF, which is geocachingfilmfestival.com. And there's all the info about how to host, how to attend, all that good stuff on the website.
Nice.
Very cool.
Now, thank you. Several of these events actually ask for votes. You know, what was your favorite? That there's no official tally of that. That's just a local thing, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's, there is one overall award that is the Signal Award, and that is voted on by reviewers who, choose to participate in voting for the Signal Award, but there is not an overall audience award. It's event by event, and it's been really fun to see what different event hosts will do, send little things to the filmmaker that wins at their own event. But we haven't found a great way of doing a global vote that is, for lack of a better word, fair. And so we haven't figured that out yet. So for now, there isn't a global vote.
Yeah, that's tough. For our event, we actually did used a web-based online tally that we did live during the event. So we had the stats on the big screen sort of popping up and down as the films were shown. People could see which ones they were voting for. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't even imagine trying to organize that globally with 500 plus events.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Over 550 is what we're going for.
There you go.
Exactly. Thank you.
Let's push it to 600. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
It would.
Well, thank you so much. Now, before we leave, I want to mention a couple of our upcoming shows because, you know, we have a great show here each and every week on Caching in the Northwest. Next week, we're talking summer 2017, our hashtag geocache road trip roundups. Where did we go? What did we do? What did we find? After that, on September 28th, cruising and caching with the Land Sharks. This is an exciting episode for me personally, and I hope you enjoy it. October 5th, Earth Caching with Land Monkey. Wait, Land Monkey, you find Earth Caches?
I find all the Earth Caches.
Almost exclusively, he finds Earth Caches. October 12th is planning your... Hey, look at this. Planning your GIF event. So you'll have to have it submitted, I think, by that time, but we can help you with the details of making that an epic event because, you know, we want a giga GIF. Wow, that's
ooh, that just rolls off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. Now, ladies,
awesome.
Until next week, where can our listeners find you on the web if, you know, they wanted to stalk you or more than likely ask you some pertinent geocaching questions?
Well, for geocaching HQ related things, you could follow us on any of our social media channels and ask away there. My personal username is Otterpop. So if you're ever caching in the Northwest and see it out there, feel free. For GIF, you can check out geocachingfilmfestival.com. And Erin, if she wants to give out her geocaching.
Yeah, my geocaching name is Oceans Azul. Yeah, so Message Center is a great way too, I guess, of if there's a quick question or if you know how to do a fair global vote, you can message me at Oceans Azul.
Love it. What about you, Land Monkey? Where can people stalk you on the internets?
Well, I'm always encouraging more stalking. That just makes life interesting. You can follow us, landmonkey.blogspot.ca, or for, you know, the contact info and all that kind of stuff, if you go to the landmonkey.blogspot.ca/contacts. But you know what? Most of all, we encourage people to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at landmonkeygc. And of course, new videos coming out every week or every other week or every third week, depending upon how busy I am. Just search YouTube for Land Monkey. And my friend Chris of the Northwest, how shall you be stalked?
Well, you know, I prefer Twitter. Look for Caching NW there. I also have Facebook and Google Plus accounts because it's the thing to do. Look for me at Caching NW. You know what's even better? Head on over to cachingnw.com and read our bios. You can find all the links we just mentioned and maybe some we didn't. You don't Ooh. Know until you go look.
It's a surprise.
Every week it's a surprise.
Now, speaking of every week it's a surprise, here's something that isn't a surprise. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Remember that you can be a part of this show by calling 253-693-TFTC and leaving us a comment, asking us a question, or email us our own 8-bit avatars any time of the day or night. And of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, your support helps to keep quality shows coming. So if you liked this rare quality show we got today, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license copy. All right, all right, all right. 2017 by Chris Humpenauer. And now, folks, stay tuned for
The After Show.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. This is a portion of the show we like to call
The After Show.
And it's a time for us to interact with our audience in the live chat. You know, perhaps there's things that have been mentioned that didn't necessarily fit into the show, and we like to take this opportunity and chat with you. Now, we've got a couple of things already that have been hashtag fatast. That's for the after show. We start off with BMars7391 says, I'm hosting an end of summer social event this week. That's GC7 Alpha Whiskey Yankee November. If you want to go find that. Broncos Fan for Life says, anyone going to Long Beach this weekend?
That's a cash-splash event.
Yes. Now, yes. I was thinking the other Long Beach in California for GeoCoinFest. Is that this weekend?
Oh, wow. I think that's the end of September, but yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's not in the plans. I would love to go just to get on the boat.
That's the Queen Mary?
It's on the Queen Mary, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is the first mega event on a boat. There you go.
There you go.
So
now does it actually count as a boat because it's like dry docked or whatever?
Well, it's still a boat. You have to board it.
All right. I'll just point out for those who might be listening to the audio or those who are watching the video and have seen it happen, Audrey and Aaron did have to leave. Mm-hmm. They both had prior engagements, so they couldn't stick around for hashtag Fatas. Either that or they actually just have had enough of me and they've left.
Doesn't surprise me at all that they've had enough of you. I have too. However, I'm sticking around.
Bye.
I don't trust you alone here.
I got a lot of that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's okay. I got Earth Cash Weekend, so I'm good for a while.
You won. I mean, Canada won this week. Wow.
Canada won this year.
Let's give a round of applause to Canada.
Woohoo! Yeah, thank you. On behalf of Canada, we thank you.
That's true.
We got a souvenir this year.
You got your own trackable campaign.
Yes.
You've got 2 days of Earth Caching.
It just keeps getting better and better. It's like Christmas came early. Christmas came all year. It's like what Elma wanted, Christmas every day of the year.
That's what Elf wanted, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But yes, it's all good.
It's all good. So cash-splash is
thanking us for.
Oh, yes.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And I thank them back. Cash-splash is happening this weekend. down in Long Beach, Washington. And that's a worthwhile event to go to. You'll want to really go for both days. You know, you can get in late on a Friday, stay for Saturday, leave after the breakfast event Sunday morning. So you could do it in a 48-hour window of time. It's a very well-done event.
It is. It's just a heck of a drive if you're, you know, from up here in British Columbia. But, you know, if you were in pretty much anywhere from Seattle down to Portland, it's really not that much of a drive.
No, under 3 hours from Seattle to Portland.
Very cool. All right. Was there anything else, hashtag FATAS, we want to make sure we cover off?
I asked IHAM. He said, is... How many will LCC seat? And I'm like, LCC, I can't remember. Church there on 17th and Union. It depends on how friendly you want to get. You know,
let's assume average friendliness.
1400 fits nice. If you want to get very friendly, 16 to 1800.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. So yeah, we could hit mega event there with no issue. However, it's really hard to book on a weekend.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Because,
you know, there's like 7 services during the weekend or something. So, we'd have to do a Friday night, and I don't think that actually fits. So.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but there are several large events or several large venues that could seat 500 or more. So.
Nice.
Large churches, obviously. You know, smaller churches can still seat 500. I guess that's considered a large church, but,
yeah.
Yeah. Lots of, you know, I would think there would be several, education venues that can seat 500.
I would think so.
As well as regular theaters.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you have the opportunity, like we're doing with the city of Richmond to partner with the city, you can get access to some really nice venues.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a large amphitheater out here. Oh, you know, it'd be a lot of fun is to rent out a drive-in.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Have a Gajiff drive-in event.
Yeah. That'd be expensive though, I bet.
I mean, really, who uses a drive-in anymore?
Well, I don't know. The one up here is pretty busy.
Oh, is it? You have a drive-in that's still active?
We do. Although I think in November it's shut down for the season. So I don't know. Don't know how that would work.
I don't either.
And if it rains, the visibility is rather poor.
Oh, right. It's like you're in your car. You should stay dry. I mean, you know.
Well, you'll be dry.
If you have a convertible, make sure the top's up. Yeah, other than that.
But the video will look kind of like this.
Oh, yeah.
Or like this.
That's funny.
A strobe effect.
Oh, Lime Access, is there any drive-ins left in the Northwest? I believe I know of one in this area.
There's one up near where we live here.
Ooh, Cheney Stadium. I didn't think of the big sporting events, big sporting venues.
Yeah, but stadiums. Again.
Yeah. CenturyLink Field. You know, maybe the Seahawks are visiting that week. Well, you could go to Safeco Field. They're not doing anything.
Hey, you could play it at halftime during the football game.
Ooh, it's only an hour. Yeah.
Halftime show.
Oh, here we go. We've got several. Blue Fox in Oak Harbor and Newburgh, Oregon has a drive-in.
There you go.
So.
And Langley, British Columbia.
Oh, do they? Yes, yes. Of course. You already mentioned that. Sorry. I was looking. Where do you see that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got busy reading. Silly me.
Yeah, that's okay. No worries. All right. Well, what else did we want to cover off?
We got the... Hey, I think
coming back to join us.
Got all the FATASes. FATASifies.
When's Witsend going to be joining us again?
A couple of weeks.
A couple more weeks.
When the fair is over.
Right. Awesome. Well, I am looking forward to the next several episodes. I think we've got some great stuff coming up. We'll be talking about all of our various adventures. Oh, I do have to tip my hand a little bit. In the mail when we got home today, there was a package from the Visit Rainier folks.
Oh.
We got our 4 path tags and our coin for completing the Visit Rainier.
Nice.
Tour.
There are still several caches inaccessible because of the fires.
Hmm.
So I look every day to see if 410 has opened up, and it hasn't yet. So that makes my cache inaccessible. And I know the radius had gotten larger, and I think it had engulfed up to 5 cache sites, where not necessarily engulfed with fire, but, you know, stay out of this area.
Closed,
it's closed. It's not worth it.
So if you, it ends at the end of October, right? So if you haven't finished it right now, boy, it's going to be tight to try and get it finished.
It's not official, but there may be some forgiveness.
So, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah. You know, still push hard to get these done.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the next episode, September 28th, last show of September, we've got the Land Sharks coming back on again. Looking forward to that.
I don't want to spoil it too much. They got 2 cruises coming up in the next year that, I want to go on both of them, but that's not feasible.
Yeah. That'd be expensive.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if you could, but
yeah.
Looking forward to talking to them.
Not too long ago. Oh, okay. So, completely off subject.
Go
That's
for
what
it.
FITAS is for, is it not?
Yeah.
For my parents' anniversary, I took them on a cruise through the locks in Seattle. And, you know, how long have I been here in Washington State? I think I'm coming up on 26 years. I have never seen Seattle from the water before.
Really?
Yeah, go figure. We went past the cruise ship called The World. Have you heard of this cruise ship? Well, it's not a cruise ship. It is luxury sea living. There are, I want to say, 160, 165 apartments on this boat. The apartments, I believe, start around $7 million.
Holy.
Yeah.
So is this like a cruise ship that goes out on cruises, or is this something like that permanently?
Not permanently. They do move around.
Oh, okay.
They actually have a democratic process to decide where they're going to go throughout the year.
Really?
Yes. And so they move around. I'd never heard of this before. They had gone to the Arctic Circle, you know, Greenland. They go to some of these places. You go, wow, I'd love to go there. And they may spend 2 weeks in port with, you know, trips planned out. So go search The World, and you'll find this is how the other half lives. No, this is how the 1% lives.
The 1%.
And you live on board a ship.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy.
Anyway, we talked about cruising, you know, multiple times. I remember of a story of, I want to say, an 85-year-old woman. Her and her husband loved cruising. They had done over 100 cruises. And when he passed away, she sold everything and decided she could live less expensively on a cruise ship year-round than her house and all the expenses. And that's what she does. And she loves it.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, there was a question from IHAM in the chat asking about the Geo Gearheads takeover and which episode will that be?
What?
And I do want to just correct one thing. It's not the Geo Gearheads takeover. It's the coup.
It's the coup. We are staging a coup d'etat on Geo Gearheads on episode 301. Hold on. I've closed that.
So I'm going to start slamming my fists on the desk and stand up and yell, but I want to encourage everybody to follow us, march on Geo Gearheads.
Oh, let's see. That is October 5th.
There you go. October 5th, 6:10 p.m. Pacific time, March on GeoGearhead. We will all be there, the fist together, brothers and sisters.
GeoGearheads is an estate, so you can't do a coup d'etat. We can do a coup de podcast. A coup de cast.
Yeah. Coup de cast.
Ooh. I don't know. Can you do a coup de cast?
Let me put it this way. If you are Daryl W4, it is going to feel like a coup d'etat.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
No. Monkey Cakes asks if I've never been on a Washington ferry. Yes, I've been on Washington ferries. I haven't been on the one that comes into Seattle from the water. I mean, you know, I do the other ones. I've gone up the ferries on the in Island Count, the San Juans. And around here, it just, I don't know. I just haven't. I realize that as I'm there taking pictures, like, wow, this is great. This is where all these great shots come from. Okay. Hey, how come I've never been here before?
Nice. Well, it sounds like you had an enjoyable time.
Because you tend not to do tourist things in the city in which you live.
In your own hometown. Yeah.
So I've never been on the Seattle Ducks. I should go take a duck tour.
Quack.
Yeah. I told my parents this was a Argosy cruise. It was very enjoyable. We had a very good, I want to say docent, but that's really not quite the
Tour guide.
Your tour guide who, you know, told us the history of all these things and, you know, it was very interesting. And, very cool. Yeah, so we were right next to, now I've blanked. I'm sorry. The airline that goes in and out of the lake there, Kenmore Air. And I was like, ooh, last year they did a Father's Day special of flying you around Mount Rainier and back.
Neat.
And I want to say it was 3 hours or something. Maybe it was much shorter. Anyway, it was one of those things like, oh, I want to do this. It was a little pricey, but I say, well, how about if we do that? My mom goes, no, you can take your father, but I will not go. My mom doesn't like to fly. So maybe we'll do a Kenmore Air for them.
Nice. All right. Well, you know, we were talking about upcoming shows, and I'm coming up to the third one that we have listed, which is Earth Caching with Land Monkey. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to ask of anybody who is still listening to the podcast is if you have earth caching questions, to please send them in to us via phone, email, social media, whatever.
We like it in your voice. I mean, you may not like your own voice, but we do because it gives us a chance to rest. And come on, guys, you got to be tired of us reading off your emails and butchering your geocaching names. So if you call it in, it sounds so much better.
There you go. Yeah, we obviously we'll come up with some great stuff to share with you about earth caching on October 5th, but we would love to be able to answer any of your burning questions about earth caching. The thought had crossed my mind of having a geocache guy come in and speak about earth caching on that episode, but I don't know if that'd be really productive or not. So.
Poor geocache guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Team Finn says, you know, hot dogs and police officers and don't get between them.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's a story behind
there that. There is. We went to a geocaching event for Team Finn had a birthday. And it was National Hot Dog Day and went to the dog house in Des Moines. And we overwhelmed the dog house, let me tell you. They had trouble keeping up. And one of the local police officers came. Not because they were called, because they wanted a hot dog. And he looked at the crowd. He goes, y'all here for hot dogs? Oh, I don't want to wait that long. But nice guy. Apparently many of the people knew the police officer. So he stayed neat. And chatted for a while.
Cool. So the event went well?
The event went very well. It was most interesting to see the owner's face when she showed up and realized there's 20 people sitting on her deck and the restaurant isn't quite open yet. And you can just see like, did I run a special today that I forgot about? Why are so many people here?
Right. I'm thinking, how much do I have in the fridge? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run and go get some hot dogs. I'll be right back.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a very well done event. It was a Team Finn event. They're throwing an event every month for this year, and they do a great job. They really do.
Very cool. And that was the September hot dogs and birthday event, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Is next month pizza and dessert? Something like that. IHAM says, cheap fun with out-of-town guests. Get fish at Ivers, then eat it while crossing back and forth from the Seattle to the peninsula. So, yeah, that's what we should have done.
There you go. That
we did.
Like
we did go to Ivers and eat. I mean, you know, you have to when you're down there.
Very good. All right. Well, do we think we've run through everything we need to talk about tonight?
We have run it through.
All right. Well, it has been fun as always. We really enjoy all of you guys in the chat sharing your hashtag FITAS with us tonight. And encourage you all to get out and do some geocaching this weekend and then tell us about it.
Exactly. Get out and get caching in the Northwest.